Do not be afraid. That's always the first thing that comes out of an angel's mouth. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, Gabriel said to the young woman. An angel appeared to Joseph and said, "Do not be afraid, Joe, to take Mary as your wife." And in today's biblical text, shepherds are in a field. Angels come upon them and say, "Do not be afraid. I am bringing good news of great joy for all people, and especially to you lowly shepherds. For today is born a Savior, the Christ, the Lord, the Messiah. Do not be afraid." I love the way Reverend Shannon Johnson Kirshner puts it. She says, "Angel voices always issue the holy invitation to lean into courage rather than to give into fear." Lean into courage rather than lean into fear. Kirshner says that this holy call to have courage and not to be afraid speaks in direct opposition to the growing environment of fear that permeates so much of our lives. Fear of death, of aging, fear of becoming irrelevant, fear of violence, fear of others who look different or believe differently or love differently, fear of not having enough or losing what we have, fear of war, of terrorism, fear of the unknown, fear of feeling helpless in the face of systematic problems like racism and climate change, fear of not being good enough or never being good enough, or even perhaps fear of God. Not the kind of fear of God the Bible talks about, not respect or awe, but the scary kind of fear, as though God is a monster or something. That kind of theological fear is certainly a part of our environment too. Reverend Kirshner is a PK. If you're not familiar with that, that means preacher's kid. Her father was a Presbyterian minister, I believe, in Texas. She overheard him talking to a friend one day, summing up his long Texas ministry by saying, "I spent almost 40 years trying to tell people again and again that God is not a creep or a bully." That was her father's colloquial way of saying he tried his whole ministry to help people fully hear the words of the angels. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of failing as a disciple. Don't be afraid that God is out to get you. Don't be afraid that you are not good enough or that chaos will win. Don't be afraid that hate and violence are slowly taking over, though it seems like it sometimes. But fear not. Trust that God is not a creep or a bully. But how do we know? How do we know we really don't need to be afraid? Because there is plenty of fear to go around. It seems to get louder all the time. Some of our public leaders seem to revel in fear. It's all around us. Television, radio, computers, cell phones, newspapers, magazines. Everywhere we turn, we get a bucket full of fear. One thing almost all of us need to do is to unplug our machines more often. Not pull away, not to deny the issues, but also not constantly filling our minds and our hearts with negativity and fear. We need to pull the plug on some of the outside noise and spend more time going inward to the source. Our source, your source, my source, inward to God. But again, how can we do that if we're not sure if God is a creep or a bully? How do we do that if we're not sure God is really for us and not against us? Our Christian faith's response to these questions is the whole reason we are here today. We don't need to be afraid. Afraid of our world or our God, because we have seen God's face. Not only have we seen God's face, we have seen it in a totally unanticipated way. In one of her sermons, Barbara Brown Taylor creatively reflects on what must have happened in the heavens when God first told the angels of God's plan to come among us as a baby. In response, Barbara surmises that the angels asked God, "Could you at least create yourself as a magical baby with special powers? It wouldn't take much, just the power to become invisible. Maybe the power to hurl bolts of lightning if the need arose." You see, the angels liked God's baby idea, but it lacked adequate safety features. God thanked the angels for their concern, but said no. God thought that God would just be a regular baby. How else could God gain the trust of God's creatures? There was a risk, a high risk, but that was part of what God wanted us to know, that God was willing to risk everything to get close to us so that we might love God, so that we might draw close to God, to be in relationship. God could have showed up the way some still expect God to return, on a throne with fire and brimstone, flames for eyes, a lion's roar. But on this Christmas Eve, living in a culture steeped in fear, we proclaim that is not what God did. That is not the choice God made. God came into this world through Mary's body with Joseph's care, surrounded by animals and hay and shepherds. God came into this world wailing at the disruption of birth, hungry for his mother's milk, wanting, needing to be held and cuddled and soothed. That is how our God has chosen to be known to us. Jesus said that he did not come into the world to condemn the world. He came, he said, so that we may have life and have it in its fullness. We can't experience life in its fullness if we're afraid, if we are fearful. When we're afraid, we're worried about the future, and we can't embrace the moment. We can't truly be present and experience life in its fullness. So the first words from the divine are, do not be afraid. Lean into courage rather than give into fear, so you can embrace the moment, so you can experience life in its fullness. There's nothing to be afraid of, nothing to fear. Trust God and not the ways of the world. Trust God, knowing that even in death, all is well. Everything is okay. Every Christmas season, or at least every other Christmas season, I try to work in one of my favorite essays. And today is the perfect day for it. Some of you have heard it many times throughout the years. The essay was written by Annie Dillard, a great writer. I was introduced to the essay by a woman named Frieda Gardner, who was one of my favorite seminary professors at Princeton. Frieda taught Christian education, and I was fortunate to take her class just before she retired. By the way, Frieda joined the faculty of Princeton in 1961, was the only woman faculty member at that time, the first woman to serve as a tenured faculty member at the seminary. She was a remarkable person. You can imagine what Frieda's life had been like when she broke into the male-dominated faculty at Princeton. Frieda is a good example of someone who leaned into courage and not into fear. The essay is titled, God in the Doorway. One cold Christmas Eve, I was up unnaturally late because we had all gone out to dinner, my parents, my baby sister, and I. We had come home to a warm living room and Christmas Eve. Our stockings drooped from the mantel. Beside them, a special table bore a bottle of ginger ale and a plate of cookies. I had taken off my fancy winter coat and was standing on the heat register to bake my shoe soles and warm my bare legs. There was a commotion at the front door. It opened, and cold wind blew around my dress. Everyone was calling me. Look who's here! Look who's here! I looked. It was Santa Claus, whom I never, ever wanted to meet. Santa Claus was looming in the doorway and looking around for me. My mother's voice was thrilled, look who's here! I ran upstairs. Like everyone in their right mind, I feared Santa Claus, thinking he was God. Santa Claus was an old man whom you never saw, but who nevertheless saw you. He knew when you'd been bad or good. And I had been bad. My mother called and called, enthusiastic, pleading I wouldn't come down. My father encouraged me. My sister howled. I wouldn't come down, but I could bend over the stairwell and see Santa Claus stood in the doorway with night over his shoulder, letting in all the cold air of the sky. Santa Claus stood in the doorway, monstrous and bright, powerless, ringing a loud bell and repeating, "Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas." I never came down. I don't know who ate the cookies. For so many years now, I have known that this Santa Claus was actually a rigged-up Miss White who lived across the street, that I confused the dramatist personae in my mind, making of Santa Claus God and Miss White an awesome, vulnerable trinity. This is really a story about Miss White. Miss White was old. She lived alone in the big house across the street. She liked having me around. She plied me with cookies, taught me things about the world, and tried to interest me in finger painting, in which she herself took great pleasure. She would set up easels in her kitchen, tack enormous slick soaking papers to their frames, and paint undulating undersea scenes, horizontal smears of color sparked by occasional vertical streaks, which were understood to be fixed kelp. I liked her. She meant no harm on earth. And yet, half a year later, after her failed visit as Santa Claus, I ran from her again. That day, a day of the following summer, Miss White and I knelt in her yard while she showed me a magnifying glass. It was a large, strong hand lens. She lifted my hand and, holding it very still, focused a dab of sunshine on my palm. The glowing crescent wobbled, spread, and finally contracted to a point. It burned. I was burned. I ripped my hand away and ran home crying. Miss White called after me, sorry, explaining, but I didn't look back. Even now, I wonder, if I meet God, will He take and hold my bare hand in His and focus His eye on my palm and kindle that spot and let me burn? But no. No, it is I who misunderstood everything and let everybody down. Miss White, God, I am sorry I ran from you. I am still running. Running from that knowledge, that I, that love from which there is no refuge. For you meant only love and love, and I felt only fear and pain. So once in Israel, love came to us incarnate, stood in the doorway between two worlds, and we were afraid. The face of the baby Jesus is the face of our be not afraid God, who means us no harm It is the face of a God who makes sure that all angelic messages begin with the call to fear not, to be not afraid. This is the God we celebrate today. And so despite whatever else we hear out there, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are invited, called, challenged to be not afraid, to fear not. For we have seen the face of our God and know the incomprehensible depth of God's love. So may we all go from this time of worship deciding to lean into courage rather than to give into fear, trusting that God is still at work in this world and even at work in and through you and me. Just imagine what could happen in our lives and in this world if we all decided to hear the angels' voices, to heed their calls, to not be afraid anymore. Amen and amen.